July weekend. We have a lot of people traveling today, a lot of people on vacation today. I'm so glad you're here today. And as you can tell, if you saw me earlier, I wasn't wearing this. Audra goes, "You forgot to wear your patriotic stuff." So she brought it to me just before I came in. So thank you, sweetie, for doing that for me. All right. Glad you're here today. I thought for today, since it is the 4th of July, we'd kind of look at what freedom is, celebrating freedom, the freedom we have through Jesus Christ. How do we have this freedom we have in Christ? Now, to kind of jumpstart this, I thought, well, I want to be a little light at the beginning, and then as we move forward to get a little more serious. So I have a few 4th of July jokes for you, all right? Do you know who has to work on the 4th of July? Fireworks. Do you know what the colonists wore to the Boston Tea Party? T-shirts. What does a ghost say on the 4th of July? Happy Red, White, and Boo Day. Now, what is the most popular sport on the 4th of July? Flag football. What did one American flag say to the other American flag? Nothing. It just waved. All right? So now you got some jokes you can tell at work tomorrow, all right? Like I said, I'm glad you're here today. I hope you had a great 4th of July. Think about it. Our country has been here for 248 years. On July 7th, 1776, the Declaration of Independence was written and signed by our founding fathers declaring our independence from Britain. And in two more years, we will reach 250 years as a nation. God has been good to this nation. And I hope we're here many, many more years. So I want us to look at today and to consider, what does it mean to have the freedom that Jesus offers us in Christ? Now, before I do that, I want to kind of take you down a little history lesson. If you remember your early American history, you will remember studying about the Bill of Rights and the U.S. Constitution, the Declaration of Independence. How many of you, when you were coming through school, you had to at least memorize the preamble to either the Declaration or the Constitution? We all had to. I don't think they do that anymore, which is sad, but we had to memorize it. And in the Bill of Rights, do you know what the very first Bill of Rights our founding fathers gave us? It was the very first one. The first freedom of America is the freedom to worship. That was the very first one they wrote. And we'll look at why in just a moment. Later came some more: freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom to assembly, freedom to right to even question our government when we disagree with some of the decisions it makes. So in that articles, they wrote this: Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. And if you have studied anything in our early history, you have learned that. What does that mean? First, it says that government, praise the Lord, cannot tell us how to worship. They can't tell us what songs to sing, what genre songs to sing. They can't prevent us from worshiping. They can't tell us what time to start, what our buildings have to look like. They can't even establish a state church. They can't tell us how to worship. The second thing the government cannot do is prohibit us from the free exercise of our faith or any religion. Government, no matter what it says or what it does or how it is, can never tell us how to worship, and it cannot prohibit us from worshiping. To me, that is something we need to say amen to. Our founding fathers were wise in giving us these basic freedoms. That's what makes America unique. Many countries do not bear those rights like we do. And like I said, we have five great freedoms we often take for granted: freedom to worship, freedom of the press, freedom of speech, freedom of the right to assemble, and even finally, the freedom to question our own government when we disagree with it. So why is the freedom of worship the first freedom that we were given? And if you remember your basic history, you remember around 1609, a group came across the Atlantic. They were called Pilgrims. Pilgrims were the first really evangelical Christians that arrived in America. They were fleeing persecution because they wanted to be able to worship God freely without being under a state church. In England, for example, they have what's called the Church of England. You had to be a member of that. You had to pay taxes to that. You had to worship the way they said there in the Church of England. These pilgrims who came did not want to do that. They felt it violated the truth of God's word. So our founding fathers and the earliest documents, the Declaration of Independence and our Constitution, put in those documents the freedom of religion, that we could worship God however we chose to do so. And as I look today, I'm concerned that I don't see a lot of spiritually free people today, even Christians. I see a lot of people who call themselves Christians overwhelmed with stress, anxiety, boredom, guilt, bitterness, resentment, fears. If Jesus Christ came to set us free, why don't we feel like we are free? Why aren't we living and experiencing that freedom? A few minutes ago, Pastor Steve quoted a verse that's going to be our theme verse through today. It's found in the words of Jesus in John 8:36. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. That's why Jesus Christ came. So if he set us free, why are we plagued with worry, anxiety, stress, bitterness, guilt, frustration? Why are we not living in that freedom? If he has set us free, we should be free indeed. So what does that mean? What does to be free indeed mean? Jesus did not come to make us more religious. He came to make us free. So what does freedom look like that Jesus purchased with his blood for us? First, I get the power to have a clear conscience. That's the first thing. That means God erases all of my guilt, all of my shame, all wrong I've ever done has already been forgiven through Jesus Christ. We can go to the Old Testament for this. Look at what the prophet Micah says. You will have mercy, compassion on us again. You will conquer our sins. You will throw away, hurl, cast all of our sins into the deepest parts of the sea. I looked that up. The deepest part of the sea is in the Mariana Trench, which reaches to a bottom of 35,876 feet. That's almost 36,000 feet deep. And so Micah says, God takes our sin, our guilt, our shame. He throws it into the deepest part of the sea. He puts up a sign that says, no fishing, no retrieving. It's buried, it's down there, leave it there. And that's good news. That's freedom for us. Because sociologists and psychiatrists and psychologists tell us today, the two big things that are stressing people out the most today are guilt and resentment. Guilt over the wrong things they've done to hurt somebody else, and resentment from the people they've hurt against them for what they did. And some of you may be bearing those two emotions of guilt and resentment today. You can't have the freedom Christ promised you if you're experiencing guilt and resentment. Friends, even if there were no such thing as heaven, the fact that Jesus Christ frees us from guilt, resentment, shame, throws our sins so far away as it can be possible, that would be enough for me just to give my life to Christ. It would be. To be able to wake up and go, I don't have to worry about all that I've messed up. It's over. It's paid for. Jesus, when he said from the cross, Father, forgive them, he meant it. I read about a repair shop, auto repair shop. They have this big sign in their auto repair shop that says this, a clean engine gives more power. And that's true with a clean conscience. The reason so many people today are tired and fatigued is due to guilt. They keep beating themselves up over past failures, past regrets. They won't let it go. And this guilt weighs them down. And they wake up every morning under the burden of this guilt when Jesus Christ has already forgiven them. So that's the first freedom. The freedom to have a clear conscience. Paul writes this in Colossians 1. He says this, for he has rescued us out of the darkness and gloom of Satan's kingdom and brought us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who bought and purchased our freedom with his blood and forgave us all of our sins. Notice it doesn't say some of our sins. It says what? I'm sorry. It says what? All. You know, I love Greek and Hebrew, so I looked up the Greek word all. You know what I found? This was amazing to me. You know what the word all in Greek means? All. Not some, but all he has forgiven. Real freedom in Christ means a clear conscience. It says that God has purchased our freedom. We know this, but often we don't live like this. So how did Jesus purchase our freedom? He paid for it with his blood. Paul writes this in Ephesians. He says this, "For by the blood of Christ we are set free, that is, our sins are forgiven. How great is the grace of God which he gave us in such large measure." See, there's that freedom. We are free, he says. We've been set free. Jesus came, as I said, not to make you more religious, but to set you free. And if the Spirit sets you free, Jesus says, you are free. He was hung up on the cross for your hangups. Psalm 34:22 says this, "The Lord redeems the soul of his servants. Anyone who takes refuge in him will not be found guilty." The word redeemed there is a Hebrew word, podei, and it really means to pay a ransom. Jesus paid the devil's ransom fee for your sin so that you could be free from it. He paid for freedom for you to be free from guilt, free from regret, free from shame, so that you can stop beating yourself up over and over for your failures in the past. God says this in 1 Corinthians 1:8, "God will keep you free." There's that word again. God will keep you free from all the blame on that great day when our Lord Jesus Christ returns. See, a lot of people have this picture that when they die and they stand before God in heaven, that God's going to drop this huge IMAX screen down. And on it, he's just going to display every sin you've committed from the day you were born to the day you died. That's not what's going to happen to the redeemed. The Bible says in Jeremiah 31:34, Jeremiah says that when God forgives you of your sin, he forgets about your sin. Now, the Hebrew word forgets does not mean God has some divine Alzheimer's or dementia. It's the Hebrew word lo sakar. It means he doesn't bring back up into the face of. He doesn't call it to your memory. He doesn't say, "See how many times you messed up here? See how many times you asked for forgiveness for the same sin?" He's not going to do that. Now, you may have family members and friends who do that, but God's not going to do that. Because when he forgives you, he's not going to bring it up. The Apostle Paul picked up on this in 1 Corinthians 13. He says, "Love does not keep a record of what? Wrong done." And if someone truly loves you, doesn't matter what they say, but if they truly love you, they're not going to go back and remind you of your past failures. Because love doesn't keep a record of wrong. And because God is love, he doesn't either. So you can be free from all that guilt and all that shame. That doesn't mean you're free from the consequences of your mistakes and your sins. You may still have to live with those. So I have a question for you. Why do you keep blaming yourself for the stuff that God's already forgiven you for? Why do you keep doing that? Why do you keep beating yourself up? Why do you keep beating yourself up over and over for stuff that God's already forgiven you for? Do you realize that God has already forgiven you of that guilt? He's forgiven you of that failure? He's forgiven you of that sin? It really is an insult to Jesus Christ when we don't accept his forgiveness and live with it. You're saying, "Jesus, what you did on the cross was not enough for me. I'm different than everybody else. I need to keep punishing myself for my failure and my sin." And Jesus says, "No, you don't. I took that punishment for you." You will still have to live with the consequences, but the sin itself has been forgiven. God's will for your life is, he doesn't want you carrying this load of guilt and shame in your life. He doesn't want you carrying guilt. He wants you to carry grace. God is a God of grace. He loves to give grace to us if we ask him for it. You see, real freedom is a clear conscience. So let me just ask you, how many of you would say, "There are things in my past I have done that I regret"? All right, that's kind of all of us, okay? We've all done that. We've all had some things. You don't have to keep beating yourself up for that anymore. You may still have to live with the consequences of it, but you don't have to beat yourself up. Because Jesus said, when the Spirit sets you free from that, you are free indeed. And to me, that is great news. Second, what does the real freedom look like that Jesus purchased for us in his blood? I get the power to have a direct access to God. I get the power to have this personal and direct access to God. Now, to me, this is a big one. This is huge. He not only gives you a clear conscience, he gives you a direct access to God. Some of you know, I don't know about you, I'll tell you what I hate today in this age of technology. When you have to call a customer support number, It's like a miracle to get a real person. And they give you this menu. Anybody know what I'm talking about? If you're calling about this, push this number. If you're calling about this, push this number. Push, and you go through. And then when you push that number, if it's about this, push this number. And if it's about this, push this number. It's about this, push this number. I sometimes just hang up. I get tired of it. I get frustrated that I can't talk to a real person. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Guess what? My wife and my daughter will always have complete access to me. They don't have to call up Ruth here at the office and say, I'd like to set an appointment with Pastor Kelly sometime this week. They can just walk in. It's my wife, my daughter, because they have direct access to me. Think about it this way. There are concerts you can buy tickets called All Access Passes. All Access Passes give you access to everywhere in the concert, even to going behind stage, meeting the performers themselves face to face. You get an all access to God when you give your life to Jesus Christ. It's an all access badge. Now, this badge isn't for everyone. It's only for those who've given their life to Jesus Christ. God says, listen, you give your life to my son, I will give you all access to me. You don't have to pray through a priest, a pastor, saints, Mary. You can have direct access to God yourselves. You can pray directly to him. You know, sometimes people will ask, say, Pastor Kelly, will you pray for me? I'm more than glad to pray for anybody. But I want you to know, my prayers to God aren't any better than yours. You have the same direct access to God that I do. Why? Because you're his child. Paul puts it this way in Ephesians 3:12. In him, Christ, and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom. There's that word again. And confidence. I want you to circle the phrase, through faith in him. Through faith in him, you have direct access to God. Why am I telling you this? Because some of you think that if you go to a pastor or a minister, his prayers have a more inside track to God. No, it does not. If you've given your life to Jesus Christ, you have the same direct path to God that any pastor does. You just call to him. You just speak out to him. You don't have to know all those fancy words. This is what got Jesus ticked about the religious leaders. You don't have to say the thou's and the art's and speak like King James Version. I talk to God like I talk to you. You see, only those who put their faith in Christ have a direct access to God. Not everybody in the world has a direct access to God because they haven't given their life to Christ. For example, I don't think Hitler would have a direct access to God, the man who slaughtered 6 million Jews. Jeffrey Dahmer probably doesn't. Only those who've given their life to Christ have this direct access to Jesus Christ. When you say, I have put my faith in Christ, God says, here's your direct access to me. In Hebrews 4:16, it says this, let us then feel free, there's that word again, to come before God's throne. Here there is grace, and we can receive mercy and grace to help us when we need it. To me, that's good news. That when I come to God, especially even when I've blown it, I've sinned horribly, I come before God and I fall before him, he's not going to beat me up. He's going to give me grace and mercy. And when you do it, he'll give you grace and mercy. Our God loves to give us grace. Now, you probably know a lot of people who love to make you feel guilty. They can go back and remember from the very first time you messed up. And they have kept their little track record. And they can, it's like they got a little flip book. You did this, and you did that. I remember when you did this. I remember. And they love to bring it up. It's like they are looking for ways to find fault in you so they can make you feel more guilty. Don't let them. Just look at them and say, Jesus Christ has set me free, and I'm free even from you. Don't let them load the guilt upon you. Jesus taught us in the Lord's Prayer that when we pray to say, our Father. Paul picks up on this in Galatians 4:6. He says, and because you're sons, God has sent the Spirit of a Son to hearts, our hearts crying, Abba, Father. That word that's translated as Abba is an Aramaic word. And it means daddy. It's the word that every Jewish child will call their father. If you see little Jewish children today, they will go up to their Jewish dad in Israel and say, Abba, Abba, Daddy. And if you're a father, there's nothing like hearing your children say, Daddy. They don't walk up to you and say, Oh, Father. I beseech thee this day, may you please loan me the keys to the car so that I can go be with my friends. They don't talk to you that way. If they have a loving relationship with you and you have a loving relationship to them, they go, Dad, I need the keys. I got a girl to take out tonight. Thank you. I'll see you later. Daddy. It's something that's intimate. And that's how Jesus, and the Bible says we were to refer to God as Daddy. So the first freedom I get a clear conscience. Everything I've ever done wrong, sinfully, God has forgiven. And second, I get this instant access to Jesus Christ. You can talk to God anytime. You know when I do most of my praying? When I'm driving. I'm pretty much convinced the way I drive, because I'm a very aggressive driver, I cause other people to pray too. I pray at stoplights. I pray while I'm driving down the street. I take advantage of prayer. I don't have 15 hours a day to pray, but I pray out through the day. I talk to God throughout the day. You can do the same thing. So why don't you take more advantage of the time you have when you're just in your car, just driving, just talk to God. He's waiting to hear from you. Talk to him more often. You remember when we did our study of James? James reminded us of this in James 4:2. He says, you don't have because you don't ask God for it. Every prayer we have, we need to bring it to God. Every request we have. And every prayer doesn't have to end in Jesus' name. Amen. There are times I start a prayer and I get a phone call. I take the call. I go back and pick up where I left off. Oh, God, you know, Audrey just called me. Where was I? Oh, I was talking to you about this. I just keep right on going. Next call comes in or text message. Oh, God, I got interrupted again. Where was I? Oh, I was here. Sometimes I have an ongoing conversation with God for hours because I keep getting interrupted. Sometimes you're talking with a friend. You know what I mean? We got friends that we've known through the years. We don't see them often. But when they call us, we just pick right up where we left off the last time. Same thing. So what does real freedom look like? You get a clear conscience. Second, you get direct access to God. Third, I get the power to do what is right, holy, and godly. That's another thing of freedom. Most people have a limited, actually quite immature view of what freedom is. I often laugh when I hear these high school kids graduating from high school. I hear them standing around talking. They go, you know, I can't wait till I graduate because then I'm going to have the freedom to do what I want to because I won't be around my parents. I won't have them having authority over me. And I laugh. Then I hear one of them say, well, now that you graduated, what are you going to do? Oh, I joined the Marine Corps. I laugh. Dude, you're going to have somebody over you for the rest of your life. It's going to be a boss. Could be the government. Freedom doesn't mean we have unlimited freedom to do whatever we want to do. It doesn't mean no borders, no boundaries, no rules, no regulations, no restrictions, no limits. That's not what real freedom means. Real freedom is not the absence of limits. Real freedom is the power that God graciously gives to you and me to say yes to the right things and no to the wrong things. To say yes to the things that are right and holy and godly and righteous and no to the things that mess our lives up. Freedom is more than restrictions and limitations. Freedom is the power to do the right thing. It's also the power not to do the wrong thing. And a lot of people I know who even claim to be in Christ say they don't have the power to stop. They can't say no to certain things. If you have given your life to Christ, he's given you the power to say yes to the right things and no to the wrong things. And if you don't have Jesus Christ in your life, you're not going to have that power to say no. When I was preparing for this, I went online and I read a lot of stories about children and how they've been raised to be living this open life. Most of them I couldn't share with you because of the things they did, but I found this one from this young man. He said this, my parents were the typical liberated baby boomers that were hippies growing up. There weren't many boundaries in our home for me growing up. My parents said to me, whatever feels good to you, just go do it. My dad thought he was being cool, allowing me to experiment with sex and even drugs. My sister and I were encouraged to find our own bliss. Whatever made us happy, go do it. We encouraged to do whatever we felt like doing, all in the name of freedom. But by the time we were in our mid-20s, both my sister and I were really messed up and confused. My sister, by this point, had already had 2 abortions. I'd gotten AIDS from drug use. My new wife left me because I couldn't end my addiction to meth and to porn. My so-called freedom wasn't freedom at all. It was a sham. On the outside, I appeared to be enjoying the fast life, but inside, I was enslaved to my own fears, my own insecurities, my own compulsions. I needed somebody to free me from myself. When Jesus Christ comes into you, he gives you the power to free you from yourself. There are things about your life you don't like. There are things about your life you wish you could change. There are things you say, you know, I hear people say, I worry all the time. I can't stop it. I can't get enough sleep. I'm anxious. I'm nervous. I'm fearful. I'm stressed all the time. How do I stop this? I wish I could. You give your life to Jesus Christ, he'll give you the power for it to stop. Like I said, there are a lot of things you don't like about yourself. You cover them up. You dress up well. You look well. You act well. You act like it's no big deal, but inside you know that it is, because you don't have the power to say no to some things. That kind of power only comes from having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. There are millions of self-help books out there. 10,000 more come out every year. There are a few good things in some of them. I'll admit that. But you know what? They have one weakness. They don't have the power to help you to change. They don't have that. No book gives you the power to change except this book called God's Word. You know, I thought about this. There have been times in my life I thought, I need to read a self-help book on how to lose weight, how to diet. Now, let me tell you the Kelly Stanley approach to this. I'll get the book, and I know there's going to probably be some good things in it I need to highlight. So I'll be sitting back in my lazy boy chair. I got my big glass of sweet tea. I got my big bag of potato chips, and I'm just popping those potato chips. You know, this thing about losing weight here, that's good. Let me highlight that. Oh, I'm learning some stuff. I already feel like I'm losing weight. More potato chips, more Coca-Cola. You see, the book doesn't give me any power to do anything but read it. You get into this book, you'll get the power to change. This book is God's Word, and it will help you experience the freedom you need. You don't have the power in yourself to change the things you don't like about yourself, because if you could change them, you already would have. This is why you need Jesus Christ. You need to say sometime in your prayer this week, Jesus, I gave my life to you a long time ago, but I've never plugged into your power. I need your power to free me from the things I don't like about myself. I need your power to free me from the things I can't say no to. And the Bible says if you'll do that, he'll give it to you. Look at 2 Peter 2. Some people arrogantly use nonsense to seduce people by appealing to their sexual desires, especially to sexual freedom. You know, when I read that, it's that phrase, everybody's doing it. It's peace, love, and joy, Marvin Gaye, sexual healing. Notice what it says in verse 19. They promise freedom, but they themselves are slaves to corruption. And then here's the key. A person is a slave to whatever he gives in to. You see, God hates sin. He hates your sin. He hates my sin. But he loves the sinner. You see, the one thing we don't realize is that sin is addicting. All sin is addicting. You do it once, you have a tendency to do it again. Pretty soon you can't stop. It becomes a habit, becomes a lifestyle, becomes a compulsion, becomes a pattern. And you don't know how to break it because you don't have the power. The power is in Jesus Christ. Even the Apostle Paul learned this. He writes this in Romans 7. I have discovered this principle of life that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another power within me that is at war within my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? You're saying, I can't stop worrying. I can't stop being anxious. I don't sleep well. I can't stop second-guessing myself. I can't stop living with this shame and this guilt. I can't stop it. I can't stop it. And Paul gives us the answer. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin? Then he answers his own question. Thank God the answer is what? Jesus Christ our Lord. That's your answer. You want real freedom? give your life unconditionally to Jesus Christ. That's where the freedom comes. That's where the power comes. You can't change on your own. If you could, you already would have. You want to change for the good? Give your life to Christ. Jesus said this again, I remind you, in John 8:36. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Real freedom is not simply no limits. Real freedom is the freedom to change. That's what real freedom is for God to come in your life through Jesus Christ and help you change and become the person he wants you to be. To say yes to the things that are godly, right, holy, pure. And to say no to the things that bring more pain and mess up your life more, that are self-destructive. God has given you Jesus Christ, and Jesus gives you the power to do that. Paul says in Romans 6 this, her old sinful self, the one who wants to keep doing this destructive behavior, was crucified with Christ. Did you know that? Your old sinful self was crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We're no longer slaves to sin, meaning there's freedom. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. When we died with Christ, we're set free from the power of sin. Does that mean you're not going to sin anymore? No, you're still going to sin. I'm still going to sin. So what does it mean? It means I now have the power to say no when I'm tempted to sin. Before, I didn't have that power. Before Christ, I didn't have that power. It was just me and my addictions, me and my bad habits, me and the things I don't like about myself. Now I have this power called Jesus Christ living in me through the Holy Spirit that gives me the ability to say no. Animals typically follow their instincts. So what makes us different than the animals? We're created in the image of God, which means that gives us the ability to say yes to what brings God's glory and no what doesn't bring him glory. It's the freedom to have a clear conscience. It's the freedom to have a direct access to God. It's a freedom to have the power to say yes to the things that honor God and no to the things that don't. If you say, well, that temptation was just too heavy for me, I just couldn't give in to it, and you're a Christian, no, that's not true. You're lying to yourself because you have the presence of the Holy Spirit in you that will help you say no. You have direct access to God. All you need to pray when you're feeling tempted, Jesus, I'm very vulnerable here. I need your power. I need your help. Help me to say no. Help me to walk away from this. See, that's freedom that the rest of the world does not have. Number four, what does real freedom look like that Jesus purchased with his blood? I get the power to live with meaning and purpose. Real freedom is spiritual. I'm around a lot of people all the time. Here's what I've noticed. Most people are just existing. They don't know how to live. They're just existing. They just get up and go through the motions like they did the day before. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly. He didn't say, I've come that you might just exist. But most people I know just exist. They just get up every morning, do the same thing, just go through the motions, and they just come to the end of the day, and they go, well, how was your day? Same as yesterday, same as the day before, same old, you know the rat race we're all in. I find people today who don't know Jesus filled with so much emptiness, there's this void in their life, and they just think, if I could just get married, if I could just get a girlfriend or boyfriend, oh, my life would be so much better. If I could just get this right job, my life would be better. If I could just own this type of car or live in this type of house, my life would be full. No, it will not be, because those things will not fill that. Everybody's looking for something to fill their emptiness. For some, it's a pill. Some, it's a bottle. Some, it's media. Some, it's porn. Some, it's a call. Some, it's a career. It doesn't have to be even something evil. Listen to me. Your emptiness, that void that's in your heart, that void that's inside of you, can only be filled by the person of Jesus Christ. And when he comes into you, then you have purpose, you have meaning, and you have life abundantly. You see, people are empty until Jesus does that. 1 Peter 1:18 says, God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life that you inherited from your ancestors. That word empty, the Greek New Testament word is mataios, and it means worthless, purposeless, empty, useless, futile. It means vain. You know what that means to me? It's empty to watch shows like TMZ and Access Hollywood or E! Channel. It's all about vanity. You know the magazine Vanity Fair? You know where they got the title from? A Christian book. Yeah, that's where it comes from. John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. He said, life is nothing but Vanity Fair, meaning empty, empty, empty. The book is about an empty life. And this world publishes a magazine that says life is about emptiness. And people buy it. They pay big bucks for subscriptions about things that are meaningless. I'm going to tell you, I don't care about the Oscars. I don't care what they wore. I don't care what Oscar they got. I don't care if they walked down the red carpet. I don't care what jewelry or dress or clothes they wear. I don't care. It doesn't matter 5 minutes from now, 5 hours from now, 5 days from now, 5 months from now, 5 years from now. Why? It's empty. And there are people I know, they'll write me a little message. Did you watch the Oscars? Did you see what somebody wore? And I'm going, I don't care. You mean your whole life is full of that kind of vain and empty stuff? Life is more than the red carpet. Life is Jesus Christ. That's life. You see, they're giving first-class allegiance to second-class causes, and those causes are betraying them. Jesus said, I've come to set you free from an empty life, from a purposeless life. You see, when you're empty, what happens in your life is you start looking to other people for your validation. Most people are enslaved by the approval of others. Some, I still know today, who are still enslaved by wanting the approval from their parents. They are doing everything they can to get the approval of their parents. Their parents have been dead for 10 years, and they're still trying to get the approval from their parents. Listen to me, if that's you, you never had it when they're alive, guess what? You're not going to get it now that they're dead. Move on. You want approval? Give your life to Jesus Christ. He'll give you something that lasts forever. You see, the good news is, and I've told you this before, you don't need the approval of other people to have happiness. Because happiness, first of all, is a choice. If you have given your life to Jesus Christ, He will give you the joy that goes beyond understanding. He says, I see your faultlessness. I don't see your guilt. I don't see your shame. I see you without blame. I see you deeply loved. I see my blood covering all the sins in your life. Are you flawed? Yes. Do you still sin? Yes. But do I still love you? Yes. Are you forgiven? Yes. Do I have a purpose and meaning for you? Yes. Nobody is going to love you like Jesus Christ ever has. All you need is God's approval. You get His approval, you won't need the approval and look for the approval from other people. So many people go out of their way thinking status, possessions, power, positions, where they say, look at me. I'm worthwhile. I'm worthwhile because look at the clothes I'm wearing. Look at the car I'm driving. That makes me worthwhile. Look at the neighborhood I live in. That makes me worthwhile. Look at what I've got. That makes me worthwhile. And guess what? That soon wears off. You got to have newer clothes, another car, a bigger house. Because it wears off. Real freedom is I don't look to anybody to validate me. Because as a child of God, because I've given my life to Jesus Christ, I'm a son of the King of Kings. I'm a daughter of the King of Kings. And He has already validated me. See, most of the world doesn't live by that. I call them culture pleasers rather than Christ-purposed believers. They're not free. They're just going to this, trying to look good, smell good, be validated, win the approval of other people. And in the process, they just exist. They don't live life the way Christ promised. In Galatians 2:20, it says this, you have died with Christ, meaning when He died on the cross, and He has set you free, there's that phrase, from the evil powers of this world. So why do you keep on following the rules of the world? That's a good question. Why do you keep following the world when Christ has already set you free from this? Why do you care what other people think? They're not God. They will never love you to the degree that Jesus Christ does. You say, well, they're thinking about me. They're not thinking about you. It's a big myth that everybody's watching you when you walk into a room. When they walk into the room and you walk in the room, everybody's, you know what you're doing when you walk in the room? How do I look? When they see you walk in the room, they go, oh, how do I look? They're looking at themselves. They're not looking at you. See, the big discovery is this. They're not thinking about you at all. But I'll tell you who always thinks about you 24/7, Jesus Christ. So quit following the rules of the world. It's empty. Real freedom is not only a clear conscience. It's not only to get direct access to God. It's not only to get a way to live with meaning and purpose in life. Number five, here's what else it means. I get the power to live life free of the fear of death and the devil. Those are the five freedoms you get in Christ. Real freedom, meaning there's no fear of death. There's no fear of the devil. There used to be a brand called No Fear. People used to wear, I don't know if it's still out there or not. Occasionally I see those t-shirts. You know, the fear of death, according to all sociologists, is the number one fear people have. It's the fear of death. And the last time I checked, the mortality rate in America is 100%. I mean, just look around. Look around, everybody. Just go ahead, take a moment, look around. In 100 years, none of us are going to be here. Not a one of us. To me, isn't it foolish to go through all of your life unprepared for the inevitable? You will die one day. Are you ready for it? Are you preparing for it? I'm not afraid of death. I have no fear of death because I've given my life to Christ. I know where I'm going. You know what I fear? Pain. Pain. When I was talking to Jeff about the accident, he had that head-on collision, that kid hit him. You know, cars blew up, they were on fire. That's something to fear. That's something to fear. I'm not afraid of death because I know where I'm going. If I died tomorrow, I know where I am. The only thing I'd miss is my wife, my daughter, and hint, hint, I mean, my future grandchildren. But get married first. You know what I love? Thank God we don't have to live on a broken planet forever. He has created a home for us called heaven. And he died on the cross so that you have life here and have eternal life there. And when you give your life to Christ, guess what? The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be immediately in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where else can you get that? Nowhere else. Hebrews 2 says this. Jesus Christ became flesh and blood by being born in human form. We call it the incarnation. Only as a human being could he die. And only by dying could he break the power of the devil. And only in this way could he set us free. There's that phrase. Set us free those who through the fear of death have been living all their lives as slaves to constant dread. That's the fear nobody wants to talk about. This coming weekend, do this. Invite some of your neighbors over for a little cookout. And while everybody's eating their burgers or whatever, just say, hey, I got a topic we don't talk about. Let's talk about death. They'll leave. Nobody wants to talk about death. But you need to think about it because it is inevitable. All of us are going to die, but Jesus Christ died so that we would be free from the fear of death. The Apostle Paul says in Philippians 1:21, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He says, when you die, you give directly to the Lord Jesus Christ if you've given your life to him. That's why I'm not afraid. I've been a follower of Jesus Christ for almost over 60 years now. I'm not afraid to die. I'm not afraid to face God. Why? 1 John 4:8 says this, God is what? Love. He doesn't have love. He is love. The Bible says this in 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, meaning there's no fear in God because he's love. But perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. The word perfect there, perfected, is teleo. It means to mature, a goal that has been brought to an end, to complete, to finish. How can you fear someone who loves you unconditionally, who thinks about you more than you think about yourself? God knows all the details of your life. He knows all your motives, your fears, your sins. He knows, the Bible says, he even knows how many hairs are on your head. For some of you, that's not hard for us to know either, okay? You see, everybody has blind spots. Some of us have bald spots. But he's counted every hair. That's how important you are to him. He loves you unconditionally. The Bible says he knows when every sparrow falls. If he cares about a little sparrow, he loves you so much. He died for all of your brokenness. He was broken for your brokenness. So I have a question for you. Are you maturing in your relationship with Christ? Are you today more like the character of Christ than you were a year ago? I hope so. See, the more you get to know the Lord Jesus Christ, the less you will fear him. When love comes in the front door, fear goes out the back door. You can't have love and fear at the same time, because perfect love casts out fear. There is no fear in love. So fill your life with the love of Christ. You see, he not only frees us from the fear of death, he frees us from the fear of the devil. The devil, he loves to mess us up. He does exist. He loves to trap us in all kinds of addictions and sins. We see some of his worst today through slavery, sex trafficking, corruption. We see it through all these sins in the world today. And there are a lot of people who kind of get freaked out by the devil or demons and the occult. You don't need to be afraid of that. Why? Look at 1 John 4:4. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he, Jesus, who is in you, is greater than he, the devil, who's in this world. You have no need to fear the devil, because Jesus Christ who lives in you is greater than him. And when he tells that devil, leave, he has no choice but to leave. Let's say your life is a circle, and around it are bigger and bigger concentric circles. See that circle up there? There's you kind of in the middle. And the next circle, the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 5:17, this. You are a new creature in Christ. You are in Christ, it says. So that's the next thing. So bring up, there it is. See? Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. So now you have Jesus Christ in you. And that next circle that comes out, the Bible says you're hidden with God in Christ. Colossians 3:3. You're hidden. So there is God the Father. Next, the Bible says you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1:13. Now you see that last circle of the devil. For him to get to you, he's got to go through the Trinity. And guess what? He can never get through the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, and God the Father. Because you have been encircled by the greatest forces in the world, in this universe, the Trinity. So don't believe his lies. You see, I know Allstate likes to claim they're the good hands people. Oh no, Jesus Christ is the good hands people. He holds you in his hands and he will protect you. Satan can only control those areas of your life that you let him control. Satan has no authority in your life unless you give it to him. So when the devil gives you a thought, guess what we call that? We call that a temptation. When God gives you a thought, we call it inspiration. So when you get a sinful thought, just say, that's from the devil. I'm going to forget it. Don't believe his lies. He loves to lie. He's the biggest liar there is. Jesus said, when you know the truth, in John 8:32, that truth will set you free. Jesus also said this in John 8 about the devil. He, the devil, was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. He will tell you lies all the time. If your marriage is struggling, he will say, listen, here's what you need to do. Forget that wife, forget the husband. Go find somebody else and just have an affair with them. Fill your life. Make yourself feel good with this other person. Where do you think that came from? The devil. He's a liar. He'll tell you God's a joke. His book is full of lies. You don't need to believe this. You don't need to follow this. He'll tell you there is greener pasture somewhere else. You know why they're greener? Because somebody else has been watering them and fertilizing them more. That's why they're greener. His lies are straight from hell. But you follow the truth of this book, it will set you free. The truth is, you don't really break God's laws. They break you. Think about this. Let's say you were to go on top of the Empire State Building and say, I want to prove to the world that the law of gravity does not exist. It's just all in our mind. and you stand on the edge and you jump, and you're falling down, and you're falling down, and you're falling down 20, 30 floors, and somebody hollers out, "How you doing? I'm free." About 50 floors down, somebody else sticks their head out and goes, "How's it going?" "So far, so good." But at some point, the laws of gravity and the laws of physics and the laws of inertia are going to break you. You see, sin is what breaks you, not the love of God. So let me tell you quickly what you can do. I'll fly through this. One, always submit to God's Spirit. Pastor Hunter talked about this last week, listening to the Holy Spirit. So we need to be listeners of the word. And 2 Corinthians, Paul says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There's that word again. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Not religion, but freedom. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, guess what? There is no bondage. Where there's bondage, that's due to you. So let the freedom through the Holy Spirit cause you to live freely. 2 Timothy says this, he gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone. There's that word again. I don't circle the word everyone. Jesus Christ to purchase freedom for everyone. That includes you. How do I stay free? Number two, I always trust the truth of Scripture. First, notice what it says. I always submit to God's Spirit. Second, I always trust the Spirit, and I always trust the truth of Scripture. God tells you, God's word tells you to do something, you do it. If he says don't do it, you don't do it. He says, listen, somebody hurts you, forgive them. Don't hold a grudge. Don't let a root of bitterness grow up in you. You don't let that happen. Jesus said this in John 8, if you abide in my word, you're truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The more you believe the lies of Satan, the more in bondage you're going to be. The more you believe the truth of God's word, the more free you're going to be. See, the first source is the Spirit in our life. David writes this in Psalm 119, I will walk about in freedom. Would you want to be able to say that today? We want to be able to walk out here today, I'm walking in freedom. For I have sought out your precepts, David says. And number three, I'll always use my freedom in Christ to serve others. God has not just saved you so that you can go to heaven. He has saved you, redeemed you, purchased you, given you freedom so that you can serve others. In Galatians 5:13, it says this, you, my dear brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. So it's all about love. 1 Corinthians 9:19, Paul says this, though I am free and I belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. Every day, you're either growing in that freedom or you're becoming more in bondage. Which is it for you? Again, I remind you of our theme verse, John 8:36. She says, so if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. You see, that's why most people are not living. They're just existing. Paul says in Galatians 5:1, freedom is what we have. Christ has set us free. Stand then as free people and do not allow yourself to become slaves again. Southside, that's what Jesus has done for you. That's how he has given you independence. It is my prayer you will live it and experience it and share it with others. Because when the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. Let's pray.